Hi everyone, this is Dr. Cheryl Selman and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today for another wonderful enlightening conversation that I know you will all thoroughly enjoy, because this show is about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. And I'm so glad that you've joined me for another great conversation that certainly will make a big difference in your life. Before I jump into this great topic that I have in store for you, I just want to welcome new people. I always like to say hello to new people who may be listening and joining in for the first time. And I certainly want to invite you to go to my website, What Women Must Know, my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, like me there, because these are ways that you can get my weekly shows sent directly to you. So if you don't listen live on PRN.FM, you can certainly be getting the archive shows sent right to your inbox, and you don't want to miss any of the shows because they're all so valuable. And I'm just such a big proponent of empowering people with truthful information so they truly can make those informed decisions that help us navigate safely and powerfully through our lives. So anyway, check out What Women Must Know. Like me at Facebook, opt into my newsletter, and you'll get all sorts of other great goodies as well. So, the topic of hormones has always been one of my favorite subjects. For those of you who know me, you are aware of the fact that I wrote a book, Hormone Heresy. It's 20 years ago, and I have to just say that I just received the Italian version of Hormone Heresy. So it is now published in Italy in Italian. If you know anyone in Italy, tell them to pick up Hormone Heresy there. So that's kind of exciting. It just keeps going on like a cat with nine lives, because the issues remain important for women to understand and learn how to navigate through the changes in our lives. And we have with us one of the experts on the change, experts on our hormones. And we're going to be having a fantastic conversation with my guest today, Anne Louise Gittleman. So for those of you who don't know Anne Louise, let me just say she is a New York Times bestselling author of more than 30 books on diet, detox, environment, and women's health. A Columbia University graduate, she has been recognized as one of the top 10 nutritionists in the country. She received the American Medical Writers Association Award for Excellence and the Humanitarian Award from the Cancer Control Society. Her book, Before the Change, has recently been revised and updated. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about Before the Change, taking charge of your perimenopause. So first of all, let me just say how pleased I am to have Anne Louise Gittleman on the show today. So hello and welcome, Anne Louise.
Thank you, and I'm so pleased to be speaking to you, my dear friend.
Well, you've been an inspiration for me for years. You've been an inspiration, Anne Louise, I don't know if you know this, even before I wrote Hormone Heresy. And I just remember when I had a chance to connect with you, I was so thrilled because you're one of my little heroines. So it's so nice that we've been friends throughout the years, and you always are a source of great inspiration for me, and it's just great having you here talking about one of my favorite subjects, and I'm sure it's one of your favorite subjects, hormones, and what's
yes,
really
indeed.
Going
indeed,
on.
Indeed.
So you have this new and revised edition of Before the Change, Taking Charge of Your Menopause. So where are we with perimenopause? What is it that women need to know? Let's just get right into this topic here.
I think what women need to know is that one size doesn't fit all when it comes to menopause, perimenopause, menopause, or beyond menopause. I think like anything else, just like diet, one size doesn't fit all. You need to really understand your body, number one, and understand any of your inherited tendencies, which can certainly be overcome with supplements, with herbs, with good thinking, with wonderful nutrition and exercise. And it's really a do-it-yourself adventure, quite honestly. So navigating the change, no matter where you are on the spectrum, is something I think that should be done with yourself and your body and your own knowledge of your own history and a good healthcare practitioner, whether that's a naturopath, whether that's an enlightened functional medicine doctor, or even an herbalist. But again, one size doesn't fit all, and it can be very tricky. So when I rewrote Before the Change, you know, this book came out, Cheryl, in 1999, the initial book. And then we decided it was time for an update in 2004 because of the Women's Health Initiative, which had been abruptly halted because of the connection between some of the hormones women were taking and an increase in blood clots and an increase in Alzheimer's, an increase in cancer. So I felt it was important to kind of shed a light on to what women needed to do since the old fixes weren't working anymore, and I discovered there was this new movement afoot with bioidentical hormones. But I do believe that both bioidentical have a place and perhaps even synthetic have a place if you know the exact timing of when all those hormones need to be implemented. So that's where the book started to, you know, take a life of its own. And here we are in 2017, soon to be 2018, where the environment is presenting so many challenges that what used to work doesn't. So it's time for women to have a new path.
So I think we should also define what perimenopause is, because we have these various stages. I think at one time there wasn't such a word as perimenopause, and then somehow someone invented it, and now we can identify this stage in a woman's life cycle and help to understand what's occurring at this stage. So what is your definition of perimenopause?
Well, perimenopause is that time before actual menopause occurs, and it's considered to be a period of time which is between 8 to 10 years, and that's when all of the discomforting symptoms seem to raise their ugly head. And it's also the time when two hormones are doing a seesaw act, and that's your estrogen and your progesterone. And what we're finding is that it's really the progesterone that's most deficient in women going through this particular life cycle time. And so balancing the progesterone, either with herbs or a topical progesterone cream, natural, of course, is what many women look at, or their diet. Because the other thing that I've uncovered is that there are two minerals that play a part in this seesaw effect of progesterone and estrogen, and that's your copper and your zinc. And I don't know what comes first, elevated copper with estrogen dominance because copper is associated with estrogen, or low zinc, which is associated with progesterone. But all of that is taken into consideration when I give people the kind of, well, easy fixes for some of their symptoms, and also work with diet to lower the copper and elevate the zinc.
So this is such an important point. When women, there's 8 to 10 years or so before complete cessation of your menstrual cycle, and I always like to tell women that menopause occurs when you've had 12 complete months without a menstrual cycle, then you're truly in that stage of your life, that menopausal, or what we like to call wise women crone stage of your life. But
lovely title.
So this 8 to 10 years before you have 12 complete months of the cessation of your cycle, I mean, if you have 4 months of no periods and then you get one, you're back to zero again and still in perimenopausal times. And as you were saying, it's this time when we generally have these hormones seesawing, and it's associated with low progesterone in relationship to estrogen. So the hot flushes, the night sweats, the memory issues, maybe some weight gain. I mean, there's a variety of symptoms. But here's what I think is so important that you help to clarify. Because we don't understand what the cause is behind these symptoms that we're experiencing, the misperception is that we're in menopause, which is believed to be this total decline, this fall of all our hormones. And then all these perimenopausal women who go to their traditional medical doctor are put on hormones. On, you know, whether it's HRT, even trendy now, bioidentical hormones. But that's not the whole story of what's really going on, nor necessarily the appropriate treatment for a perimenopausal woman. Do you have some thoughts about that?
Well, I do, and I think what women need to know is that this is a time when diet can play such an important role, balancing your blood sugar, because I've often found that what you could get away with, you know, pre-perimenopause, if there's such a time, you can't get away with during this perimenopausal time of life. And so eating the right kinds of fats to stabilize blood sugar, the right kind of protein, minimal or low carbohydrates that are not high grain, that are not high sugar, is very important. And oftentimes symptoms can start to abate if you simply tweak your diet. So when we talk about that, we're talking about fats like avocado to make sure that that's in your diet, with lots of lemon to help the digestion of the fat in the avocado. We're talking about nuts, and we're talking about seeds between meal, the perfect balance of carbohydrates and fat and protein, with sufficient amounts of protein during your full meals so that you're stabilizing your blood sugar, and lower carbohydrates so that you don't have that seesaw effect. Because many symptoms of low and high blood sugar seem to mirror and match the symptoms of perimenopause. So I think that's an important aspect. And the other thing, which to me is the most critical, which kind of got me on the path of writing the book in the first place, is that oftentimes women have what we call atypical symptoms. You know, when I approached the change or the perimenopausal cycle, I was 47, which is, you know, an interesting time of life because there's so much that you're going through besides just hormonal shifts and changes. And my first symptom was not hot flashes. My first symptom was sleeplessness. So I never suspected that this was the perimenopausal stage of life, because you don't know what you've never experienced. And interestingly enough, I learned that a lot of women not only experienced what I did, but also had depression, had mood swings, had anxiety, in addition to the sleeplessness, which probably is all interrelated. But I never had anything typical. I never had the hot flashes or night sweats. So the symptoms can be as diverse as everything I've mentioned, and you can be still be in the change without even having a night flash or a night sweat or a hot flash. Now, to this day, I have never experienced a hot flash. I don't even know what it is, even though I've written about it and read about it. I know what it is. I've just never experienced it. So there's a whole variety of symptoms that really come into play, and women don't recognize that these symptoms at a certain age and stage of life are actually perimenopausal. So they're going to their doctors and they're getting medication and they're becoming medicated. And that's what I think we all need to recognize and be aware of. These are not symptoms that need medication. They need proper diet, exercise, stress relief, as well as the proper sleep. So that was a biggie. That was kind of an aha moment for me.
Yeah, I really understand and agree with that. My symptom that I didn't know was a symptom was insomnia, so similar to you, which was getting me up between 3 and 5 every morning, along with anxiety. And I spent a year going through that and not understanding at all what was going on, and trying everything I could think of. I was a psychotherapist back then, so I was going through all these therapies and trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, it was really disruptive. And when I started to get night sweats after about a year of this anxiety attack at 3 a.m. in the morning, I went, aha, this must be something hormonal. And then I realized that the sleep issue was part of the symptoms. And like you, it's discovering that first we have to look at what's out of balance in our life, because the body is really telling us we're out of balance. And when you get into your 40s, you've had a life of a lot of demands and stress and poor diet, and it all starts catching up. So that's what you are so good at doing, Anne Louise, is helping people to decipher what's the root cause, what are the root cause issues that are driving these symptoms. Let's address them, and then we can eliminate the manifestations of these symptoms. So let's explore some of those root cause issues.
Well, for me, because it was a sleep issue very similar to you, at least you got a little sleep. I couldn't fall asleep. I mean, I had the overactive mind, which I dare say I think was due to excessive amounts of copper driving estrogen. And even though I had low progesterone and lower or fluctuating estrogen, I was still in estrogen dominance because I had lowered amounts of progesterone. So what I first started doing back then was to get some topical progesterone cream, which made a difference. And then I also started supplementing with magnesium, which to this day I believe is a rescuer of hormones. I call it my hormone whisperer, so to speak. And the magnesium taken at higher than normal dosages for me allowed me to go to sleep, and when I did wake up intermittently, which was the situation back then, I was able to sleep through the night. So it was using a nutrient, it was using magnesium, which to me is almost like an adaptogen. I found it very important in terms of soothing out mood swings. I found it helpful in terms of the insomnia, a little anxiety. It helped me with tissue dryness, which was beginning to surface at that time, and even water retention. To this day, I take lots of magnesium before I go to bed, and I also still take the progesterone. So even though I'm beyond perimenopause, beyond menopause, and post, I guess I'm PM, a postmenopausal woman, I take the progesterone cream. I have a little bit of a different cycle with it, but I find it very helpful, not just for sleep, but it seems to soothe my nerves because there's a great deal of progesterone that's in the brain itself. So it's a brain soother, it's a bone builder, and it certainly is very helpful in terms of balancing excess estrogen. So the progesterone was a godsend. And, you know, years ago, we were lucky to have had the knowledge and awareness of John Lee, who has since passed. But Dr. John Lee was an MD who first introduced progesterone to the mass market, so to speak. And I had the opportunity to really deal with him and speak to him and consult with him in the writing of my books. So I had a head start on how important this particular hormone was that nobody was talking about 20 to 30 years ago.
You know, that's really interesting you talk about Dr. John Lee, because I actually organized a conference in Australia where he was the keynote speaker, because like you, he really inspired me and was giving us a piece of this puzzle that no one else really had, because back then, in 1999, around that time, HRT was the hot thing going. And, of course, women were then being diagnosed with breast cancer, as you know, that Women's Health Initiative. So, you know, women were being recognized as having these symptoms of menopause or perimenopause. Often perimenopause is perceived to be menopause anyway. But this mistreated, and as a result, you know, you met these women and I met these women who were put on hormones inappropriately, and they had a variety of symptoms and conditions that occurred. So he was really a pioneer that helped both of us to really discover some new understandings of what really is going on in the body during this time. And I think, and we can talk a little bit about it, because you write about that, one of the biggest things that we learned was that at this perimenopausal time, we tend to have extremely low levels of progesterone in relationship to estrogen, not a total decline of estrogen, which was the rationale for putting women on hormones. It was actually a rapid lack of progesterone, but higher levels of estrogen going on, sometimes excessive levels. So can you help people understand more of that estrogen dominant dynamic?
Well, the estrogen dominance dynamic is very simple to understand, I think, if you consider that we've got two hormones that really have an antagonistic effect on each other. One is a balancer of the other, and that is where the estrogen and progesterone situation comes into play. And when there's not enough progesterone, estrogen will be the predominant hormone. And with it, there are a variety of symptoms associated with estrogen excess, so to speak. And that is depression, number one. That is fat gain, especially around the hips, the thighs, the abdominal area, osteoporosis, memory loss, infertility, an accelerated aging process with the skin. So many women were so concerned about that. That's why they ran out and got all kinds of estrogen. Even autoimmune disorders like lupus, for example, has been connected to estrogen dominance, fibrocystic breasts, I'm just thinking now off the top of my head, water retention, that's a huge one, and bloating, very much connected to estrogen dominance, sometimes even thyroid dysfunction. If there's too much estrogen compared to progesterone, then you can have symptoms that mimic hypothyroidism. So there is a wide variety of seemingly disconnected symptoms that are all caused or made worse by too much estrogen. But estrogen to me, you know, and I've since seen this in some of the newer research, I mean, I always thought of estrogen as the evil hormone, but it isn't. It's neither good or bad. It just depends upon when we need to supplement. And that's where the whole concept of the estrogen window came into play, that was developed by Dr. Maish Seibel, whom I quote in the book, that spoke about the period of maybe 10 years when women start menopause, that they actually do benefit from a limited amount of estrogen. So to me, you know, there's a place for estrogen, but if you're going to use estrogen, even if you don't have a uterus, then you should always balance with progesterone, natural progesterone, because what Dr. John Lee suggested, it was the progestins that were so toxic, particularly to the heart, not necessarily the estrogen, but the progesterone part of the synthetic hormone replacement that was really being suggested by so many doctors. So there's a lot that we've learned. I think we've come a long way, and it's still a tricky area. You know, what we're, again, and I keep saying this because I see it so frequently, what works for one doesn't work for everybody. And as you get older, sometimes you have to mix things up. What used to work doesn't work anymore. So it's always testing, it's assessing, whether you use a blood test, whether you use a saliva test, which is something that I offer through my office, or even a more sophisticated urine test. You always have to see where you are in the whole mix of things, because to make matters even more complex and to add insult to injury, we now have the xenoestrogens in the environment that are 1,000 times more potent than normal estrogen, and so you're fighting all the false estrogens, the estrogen mimics that are coming to you from BPA, you know, in bottles, or you're getting it in parabens that are added to perfumes or personal care products or plastics or other pesticides. So it's a tricky road in this day and age, which is why we need a little help from our professional friends.
And education, so women understand that if they are not looking after themselves, if they're too stressed out, if they're drinking too much alcohol, eating too many carbs or too much sugar, not exercising, all those things that we know are not healthy choices in one's life, it will have a consequence in how our hormones are being expressed.
Indeed. So, I mean, it's something that I've seen. It's like, you know, the chickens come home to roost at this time of life. You can't get away with what you used to get away with. And we all, you know, we all burn the candle at both ends. I mean, we've all lived in the 60s. We were children in the 60s. So, you know, we're hard workers. And if you work hard, sometimes you play hard. But when it comes to this time of life, this is the time you have to give yourself a lot more TLC. And what you could get away with in terms of eating or sleeping, you can't do. You know, you're using up your reserves. And that's also the time to start looking at the health of your glands. This is where thyroid issues start to come into play, or adrenal issues, and we still don't know what's come first, the chicken or the egg, the thyroid or the adrenal. But you've got to look at all that, because when those start to go south and those start to dial down, so to speak, that's where energy seems to be affected and hormonal weight gain, which is such an issue among so many of my women followers.
Oh, absolutely. You know, was it interesting when I was going through that time, you talked about not having hot flushes, and I was fine unless I had a piece of chocolate cake at night or a glass of wine.
And, oh, my.
And I got to see the connection of stimulating your insulin levels by the sugar and stressing the liver and how it had a direct effect on these symptoms that were going on at the time. And you know, eating late at night, and you know, I just became very aware that there were choices I was making that didn't serve me any longer. They like you said, you might have gotten away with it when you were younger, but this is a time when I was, you know, working 70, 80 hours a week. I was working on weekends. I'm sure you were too, Anne Louise, because you work all the time. You're so dedicated. And we were exhausted. Our adrenals were stressed, and it's going to...
We were stressed. And if we had connected the dots back then, we would have seen that the symptoms were there. I had always had a very shortened cycle. I think I got my period every 23 to 24 days, which usually signals low progesterone to begin with. So I think I was born that way. That's what I tell everybody. And the other thing is I always had low blood pressure, another sign of adrenal dysfunction. So, you know, when you put all the signs together, we're just coming into this time when so many of us have other stressors. I mean, it's not just that they're working too much, but, you know, you think, Cheryl, of all the women that are on cell phones and are being exposed to electromagnetic fields from the meters that are out there, from their iPads, and so on and so forth. That also affects adrenal function. So, I mean, there are so many things a woman has to deal with in this day and age. You've got to start taking care of yourself and doing the right things to really supplement and make the body an invincible fortress so that you can withstand the changes that are going on naturally in your body.
So let's talk about some of the favorite strategies you have to support women in maintaining their optimal hormonal balance and health. And I always like to say all hormonal imbalance is a symptom of poor health. So we can stop blaming hormones and start understanding their symptoms of things that need attention, whether it's nourishment or whether it's rest or exercise. So what are your favorite strategies to support women during this time?
Well, in the book, I identify what we call the peri-zappers, which are these remedies that are made from food or lifestyle habits that I think really deal with all of the issues that are challenging women. And one of them, which works for many people but not all because we're not created equal biochemically or hormonally, is none other than good old-fashioned high lignin flax seeds or flaxseed oils, which I have found to be very helpful in helping metabolism. I have found these omega-3 rich seeds very helpful in serving as a phytoestrogen, in lowering blood cholesterol, and helping insulin receptor binding. So this is good for whatever ails you. 2 tablespoons of flax seeds a day can try to keep breast cancer away, and there is this old technique. It's kind of a recipe that was introduced to me by some of my friends in the industry. It was developed through Dr. Joanna Budwig, who is a very successful German doctor who created it in the 1950s, and she recommended about 1 to 2 tablespoons of low-fat cottage cheese be combined with flaxseed oil to really enhance the cancer-fighting ability of your body. So I tell people about this little magical combination for those that, you know, want to ward off breast cancer, maybe fighting active breast cancer, and those that really want to promote breast cancer health. So the flax seeds, the flaxseed oil, we suggest maybe a tablespoon per 100 pounds, so it's 1.5 tablespoons. But the idea behind the flaxseed oil is that if it's the high lignin flaxseed oil, that's the particular phytonutrient in the flax, which is very important to quench free radicals and also combat the cell proliferating powers of excess estrogen. So there are lots of studies that I quote in the book so that people can find all the research that really backs this. And this works very well as a natural hormone replacement for many women, particularly with hot flashes and night sweats.
And that's a really simple strategy to help.
Oh, I think it's as simple as can be. And then we have another one, if I can just introduce this to your listening audience, which is the black currant seed oil. It's another oil. I'm a big believer in the right fats, but these are not just fats like coconut oil and avocado oil, which are in the forefront today. These are oils that contain the essential fatty acids that your body can't make itself. And this particular oil, the black currant seed oil, is very high in gamma-linolenic acid, which is a very important fatty acid that should be at a 3 or 4 to 1 ratio with the omega-3s. And it's considered an omega-6, but a good omega-6. And I have found that it offers tremendous relief, Cheryl, from hormonal-related symptoms like water retention, irritability, and cramps. And it can also help metabolism because it feeds the brown fat, which is dormant in overweight people. So the black currant seed oil is another favorite. I have been recommending that in my weight loss programs for many years, and I find it also is a very important, I would say it is a sexy slimming fat for those that are interested in the hormonal weight gain section or connection.
Well, that makes it really popular right there, you know. And it's anti-inflammatory, right?
You bet. It's anti-inflammatory, and it's specifically very, very good for the skin. This is, when you think of your skin, and everybody's concerned about the skin, you know, at this time of life. I mean, you get drier, you get dry eye syndrome. It's usually the omega-6s that you need. It's more GLA. So dry eye, dry skin, dry tissues down below. Very helpful, good for morning stiffness, also very specific for PMS. So for the folks that are not quite into perimenopause or menopause out there, this is also very helpful for smoothing out those kinds of cramps and irritability. And it's just an all-around wonderful, I would say, nutrient for even headaches. So if you've got a lot of perimenopausal, menopausal, or PMS type headaches, this is very helpful to relieve your headaches. And I like 360 milligrams, maybe 2 grams a day.
Okay, so that's a great recommendation. Easy for people to pick up, black currant seed oil. That's readily available.
It's all over the place and some of the best, yeah. And then, you know, there's magnesium that we spoke about, very important in terms of being the hormone rescuer. But I tell my people, based on some of the testing that we're doing with the intracellular magnesium, the red blood cell testing, that they need at least 5 milligrams per pound of body weight. So many women need at least 400 to, I'm going to say, 800, even beyond that, magnesium. And, you know, magnesium is the new calcium. We now know magnesium is a lot more important than calcium. So magnesium to the rescue. It just does over, I don't know, it's near 400 biochemical processes that the body is involved in. And it's very deficient for those of us that are under stress. So magnesium, I think, is the number one mineral that we need.
Well, yeah, it's we are very deficient. I want to just tell you a story that happened recently. So I noticed when I went to the dentist, and he noticed it, obviously, that there was a lot of bone loss and teeth in the front, and they were starting to get loose, which is not a good thing, you know,
to have your front teeth,
right? Because he's talking about, oh, you may have to take them in and put some crown on, whatever he was going to do. So I was at a conference, and this woman was selling magnesium oil and was lecturing. And in her lecture, she said, if you take magnesium oil and put it on your toothbrush and brush your teeth with magnesium oil, it will tighten the tissues around your gum tissues to the tooth. So I thought, well, you know, I needed help because I didn't want to lose any teeth. So
Since
August, I've been brushing my teeth morning and night. I take a little of this magnesium oil with my toothpaste, and I've just been brushing my teeth with it morning and night. I went to see my dentist yesterday, and he was absolutely shocked because all those loose teeth had strengthened. The gum tissue around it had grown and you know, does what it does, you know. It just maintained its integrity around the tooth, which lets the bone regrow. So it's like I've reversed this bone loss and this loose condition.
Ooh, that's a biggie. Wow.
Isn't that exciting? So he was excited because he wants to know all about it.
It's very exciting. See, I'm learning from you as I always do. That is That is wonderful. Now, does it matter what variety of magnesium oil? There are a lot of brands that are on the market, but I've never heard of that, but boy, does that make sense.
Well, I don't think so. I think you just find a really good magnesium oil, and, you know, I just add a little bit on, a few drops, and put my toothpaste on it. And this is what the woman who was lecturing is a PhD and a healer, and she was saying it's, you know, it happened for her. So I discovered it's powerful. It's powerful because one of the things that happens around perimenopause is you can start getting bone loss, which always is, you know, your gums tend to weaken, bleed, and your teeth can get loose. And this is what a simple solution, huh?
Oh. That's a keeper. How extraordinary that is. And you think of all the women that lose bone because of a variety of reasons. And you start losing bone in your mouth. I mean, it changes the shape of your face, and people become more, you know, concerned about that as they get older. I mean, people get teeth pulled out maybe because they don't want to do a root canal, and the bone shrinks. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that go on, but that's terrific. That's very helpful, I'm sure, and everybody should take good notes. So you just use two drops of that magnesium oil? Is it a spray, or is it?
It's a, you know, it's a liquid, and I just, you know, have a little container and drip it out. It's not a spray. I think a spray would work. Any way that you can get magnesium oil onto your toothbrush.
There you go. Wowie shazowie, as they say. Well, I love that. What am I going to do to follow that one?
Well, I think you can do a good job when you talk about, let's talk about adrenals, one of our favorite topics.
Oh, well, that's huge, and magnesium certainly is very important in terms of that, but I think that adrenal recovery, an adrenal reset, or an adrenal refresher is what I call it with my Peri Zappers, is exceedingly important during this time of life. Because as you so rightly said, the adrenals are the true backup system for your reproductive organs. And they're designed during this time of life to make up for the declining hormone output. And in order to perform that particular job, they need a full supply of vitamins, minerals, and maybe adaptogens for optimized health. Now, I personally like an adrenal glandular. I'm a big believer in the ability of the gland to be regenerated and supported, you know, through kind of a DNA RNA blueprint. So I like an adrenal tissue support. But I'm also in favor of the most important vitamin that you can find in the adrenals that supports stress, which is considered the stress vitamin that nobody talks about anymore. And that is pantothenic acid, or more specifically, which is pantothene, which is the biologically active form of pantothenic acid. So I typically use at least 1,000 to sometimes 2,000 milligrams of that. Now, there are adaptogens on the market that I know that you're familiar with. There's the rhodiola, which I like. Some people swear by ashwagandha. They like that very much, or even the licorice root. But I'm a big believer in the tissue glandular as well as pantothene. That's kind of my story when it comes to the adrenals.
And I just think that, and I learned this out of my personal experience after being very adrenally exhausted from working too many hours, too many years, that adrenal support is part of what we have to do as a foundational program for the long term. Long term. I think our, you know, the older we get, the more our body, especially in menopause, will be kind of controlled by our adrenal glands. They play a major role with so many things, including inflammation, blood sugar balance, and brain function. I mean, you know, adrenals are important, and they help to keep our hormones in balance, and our stressful world really takes a hit on those adrenals. So I always encourage people to have an ongoing adrenal program and support in glandulars, like you said, because if we can support our adrenals, it will help us to rejuvenate, basically.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I don't think people will ever get well if they have weak adrenals. I think that you can't get well unless your adrenals are supported, regardless of what stage and age of life you're in.
And I remember giving a lecture one time in Australia, and this woman said, raised her hand, she said, you know, I talked to my doctor, and I told him I thought I had adrenal exhaustion, and you know what his answer was? His answer was, what's that?
Well,
so
yeah.
Go ahead.
So what is it? So what I was going to say, so you know you're in adrenal, we used to call it adrenal burnout, and there used to be three stages, you know, from Hans Selye's work. But the reality is this, if you're constantly tired, if you've got a lot of respiratory issues, if you've got allergies, if you're sensitive to light, if you have a shortened menstrual cycle when you're menstruating, and if you're just overly sensitive and you know you've got a little belly fat or maybe a menopause that's starting, then chances are you've got weakened adrenals or adrenals that need a little TLC. And that's where, you know, the supplements come into play. That's where resting comes into play, if you can, getting to bed at an adequate hour, making sure that you're supplementing and feeding the adrenals with plenty of vitamin C and the pantothenic acid, which are the stress vitamins. And so it's pretty simple. The adrenals are where it's at, and if they start getting tired out, then your thyroid usually takes the punishment, so to speak, because it has to do double duty. And I just think so many women during this time of life are complaining of thyroid issues. You see record high amounts of hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, and all varieties of issues. And part of it is because it's the thyroid is taking the load off of the adrenals, or you're having your natural minerals like iodine displaced by all the toxic halogens that are in the environment, or too much copper, which is so associated with estrogen dominance. So, you know, there's an interplay with everything that goes on in the body, and that is why I think that having adequate amounts of zinc, which is another Terry Zapper of mine, is very important, because it is the precursor of the progesterone, and that will balance the extra estrogen that could be coming from the environment or from any other type of supplementation. And you want that zinc to keep your immune system also in tip-top shape to ward off viruses, and because it's a balance for the copper, which is associated with too much estrogen.
So there's a lot to be said
here for minerals. I like gluconate. I'm a big zinc gluconate.
Yeah. And how much?
I think you have to be careful. And, you know, like everything, there's the Goldilocks exact level. I think about 50 milligrams, although some people initially need at least 100 milligrams. It certainly will clear up adult acne faster than anything I've ever seen.
Hmm. Do you ever have people do the zinc tally test?
Yes, and they're universally deficient.
Yeah. That's a simple little liquid test for people who don't know what it is. It's a form of zinc, and you know, if you are low in zinc, your taste buds don't work really well. So if you take this little liquid and you can't taste it, or it just has like a fuzzy feeling on your tongue, it's a sign that your taste buds aren't working optimally and that you're deficient in zinc. And I rarely find anybody who has adequate zinc. It's so interesting, huh?
I don't find anybody that has adequate zinc. And then there's also the you can't smell well either. So a lot of your senses start to go downwards. I mean, I'll tell you something. A good mineral supplement is essential. You can see that there's certain basics of health that we're all universally deficient in. There are patterns of health that everybody seems to be exhibiting. And, you know, before we go any farther, I think we also have to throw another, in this case it would be an organ, not a gland, into the picture, and that is how important it is to have liver support during this time of the life cycle. The liver is so important because it helps to break down hormones, it metabolizes hormones, and it also produces a substance called bile, which is important to break down fats and also to escort the excess hormones out of the body. And if you have inadequate bile, it can lead to poor estrogen metabolism or fatigue or thyroid issues and weight gain. So there's an interconnection with every body part that we know of, but particularly the liver and bile, which come into play during the perimenopausal change of life.
I'm so glad you brought up the liver, because as you were saying, that was the next place you were going to go visit is the liver, in terms of what women need to be aware of to really help support their hormones. And being able to have a healthy functioning liver, for all the reasons you were explaining, is so critical. And one thing that I've learned, I just want to add to that list, is that if the liver isn't functioning optimally, it cannot properly metabolize estrogen into a weak metabolite and can actually turn it into a more dangerous form of estrogen that's very reactive, that can cause DNA damage. So this liver metabolism of estrogens is a big story.
Nobody's talking about it. And nobody's talking about all this. They just want to have all of these medications and drugs, you know, that can tamp down estrogen metabolism. But it really is the old liver and the three nutrients that I learned way back in the day from Dr. Atkins, who learned it from Carlton Fredericks. Do you remember Carlton Fredericks?
I do. My mother listened to Carlton Fredericks all the time. That's why we had whole wheat bread.
Well, I wish my mother had listened. I listened to him. He was in New York on WOR. But in any event, he was Dr. Atkins' mentor for many years, and there were three nutrients that he believed back then, which I still support now in 2017 going to 2018, for the ability to metabolize the estradiol into the estriol, the kind of safer, non-toxic estrogen, and that was the methionine, inositol, and choline. And choline is universally deficient. When we do testing, we see everybody deficient in that. So that's something that I definitely bring into play in before the change, and how important it is. If you do not have a gallbladder, which will happen with so many women, and when they hit 40, you know, 40, fat, fatigue, no gallbladder. Well, I talk about what you need to do if you don't have a gallbladder, and which particular foods, and there are three in particular, I call them the three musketeers, that you must avoid, which will help both the liver and the bile function optimally so that the bile can be thinned, it'll flow smoothly, and it will break down fat, you'll lose weight, you'll help your thyroid in the process, and also get rid of the extra hormones. So everything is interplayed.
So mention them again.
Inositol, choline, and methionine. I give you the exact amounts in before the change, and I also talk about the top three allergens. If you're having gallstones or gallbladder issues, or you're thinking of getting your gallbladder out, that you must avoid for my elimination diet. And it's fascinating information, and this stuff works. So there are easy fixes for so much of what, you know, you feel you need a medication for or need to go into the doctor to have removed. You know, the gallbladder is not a throwaway organ, and you'll discover why in before the change.
So let's talk about one of your favorite vegetables, which happens to be beets. Now, and they become my favorite vegetable, and you have a lot to say why they are so important in your diet.
Yes, well, the beets thin the bile. Beets are magnificent bile thinners, very important for thinning that important bile, which needs to be free-flowing and decongested and not clogged up. So beets are important. You know, I'm not a beet lover, and so when I read the research, I said, how am I going to make this palatable to people that, like me, don't like beets? Either you love them or you don't. But I discovered that, number one, you can juice them very cautiously in small, small amounts, or you can grate them in a salad, and they're very sweet. So I grate them in a salad every night. And then I can be assured that my bile will be free-flowing and thinned and decongested. So I become kind of a beet lover in my salads. But you can have them pickled, you can have them steamed, you can have them raw, you can have them cooked. Very, very beneficial. Now there's beet powder on the market that some people put into a smoothie in the morning, and I certainly support that.
Well, I've really started eating a lot of beets after I heard you talk about beets, and I like them pickled with a little vinegar, but it must be my Jewish DNA, my Russian Jewish age, because I'll tell you, when I was recently at a Polish restaurant, and they were serving borscht, and I just could not get enough of borscht, which is a beet soup, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know,
we have that soup.
I know we have the same heritage, but I must tell you that I've just learned to love them in a different way. But however you can love them, and borscht is very healthy. I mean, very healthy. And I wonder, you know, those people, those Russians were very sturdy, very strong individuals. I mean, I'm sure they had strong livers, and that's because of the wonderful borscht that they consumed.
Yeah, and our livers are under such attack. I don't know what the percentage is. You probably have a better idea of how many people are dealing with a fatty liver these days because
it's I think it's the next epidemic, Cheryl. It's the next epidemic. But let me tell you what will decongest a fatty liver, and I know that we're just about finished with our wonderful interview here, so let me give you this tip. When I had to do the research on the bile thinning nutrients, I learned that choline, C-H-O-L-I-N-E, which is so important as a neurotransmitter that I know you're aware of, but choline taken in the amounts of 500 milligrams three times a day will decongest a fatty liver in something like 2 to 3 months.
Well, is there a way we can get it in our food?
That's the problem. It's not really highly apparent in our foods, unless you're a big lover of eggs, which is a source of choline, but not a lot of people are eating eggs anymore, and I can't tell you how many you'll need to get to that 500 mark. So many of the very cutting-edge integrative functional medicine docs are simply prescribing 500 milligrams of a choline substance of a supplement.
Well, that's really important because this fatty liver condition or fatty liver disease is huge as people are getting more and more overweight. We don't really appreciate the fact that when you're storing fat, it's not just, you know, the fat that you see, belly fat or whatever, it's the fat that's getting stored inside our organs, which is compromising their ability to function. And the liver is one place where the fat is accumulating. It's pretty scary, actually, when you look at pictures of fatty livers, it's like disgusting.
Oh,
really.
And you don't even have to be overweight for this to occur. So that's why people need to read your book. Maybe they'll start reading Before the Change, and they have to get a real handle on all this, because all of these conditions seem to be more apparent as we're heading into our 40s, 50s, and 60s in this day and age.
Well, I definitely think people should be reading your book, Before the Change, Taking Charge of Your Menopause. We're talking to Anne Louise Gittleman, if you've come in late, because you have such practical solutions. So it's explaining what's going on and then giving people the strategies to really help them make those changes possible, support the body in healing. So in the next minute or so that we have left, is there one more thing that we didn't touch on that you just want to share, Anne Louise, before we say goodbye?
Well, I think it's movement. You know, we can't talk about all these wonderful foods like our beets and our borscht and some of our wonderful supplements like the magnesium, the zinc, lowering your estrogen, raising your progesterone with topical progesterone creams, getting something for the adrenals, without discussing the importance of another lifestyle habit, which, of course, is movement, because we now know that sitting is the new smoking. So exercise is very important because it influences our happy hormones and supports the adrenals, so it will reduce your cortisol, which is a fat-promoting hormone in and of itself. So I think people have to get up and move at least 4 to 5 times a week, whether it's a half an hour of a vigorous activity or a high-intensity interval training, you know, which is so popular right now. I think you need to exercise to lower insulin resistance, reduce stress, maybe improve glucose tolerance, and that in turn will just balance your blood sugar. So you've got to get rid of your sedentary lifestyle. I personally love, for perimenopausal, menopausal women, the super slow technique of exercising. It's what I do twice a week. I find that I am gaining muscle strength after all these years. Once again, I find that I'm happier, my balance is better, and I'm stronger. So doing something like that, something cardio-wise, very important. And getting up and walking, or getting a desk, you know, that's a raised desk, I think is important as well. So, you know, it's you only have 24 hours in the day, so you've got to just choose your activities wisely, but you have to put yourself first when it's this time of your life, because this is when changes start to occur, but everything can be reversed. I'm a big believer in the fact that hope never dies and anything that's going on can be reversed if you find the root cause and deal with it healthfully and nutritionally.
Well, isn't that the truth? And I like to say it's all about getting younger and healthier as we get older. So you have to know the code. You have to know the code, which is what we've been talking about. So you put all those pieces together, and then the body can heal and rejuvenate and regenerate at any age. And that's, you know, that's what we're passionate about and committed to. And that's why you are always out there researching and writing and sharing this information. So I want people to go visit Ann Louise's website, AnnLouise.com. That's Ann Louise Gittleman's website, and pick up a copy of Before the Change, Taking Charge of Your Menopause. Learn the strategies, learn the code, get healthier, and get younger, and get more hormonally balanced. There we are.
Yay.
So Ann Louise Gittleman, thank you so much for your time and for your wisdom. It's always so much fun, and I always learn heaps from you, and you know, you're just doing great work out there, supporting women and men too, as you know, we learn more and more of what you are on the leading edge with. So thanks so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, my listeners, for joining me for another great opportunity to just keep getting empowered, learning, healing. That's what it's all about. And I just want to remind you, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.